riches, wealth, and prosperity. I can't recap from the beginning, but I'll do a short recap from the sixth key. The sixth key for your riches, wealth, and prosperity is look out for your prophetic word. When you are going to prosper genuinely, and it's the God kind of prosperity, God will look at you, look at your capabilities, and give you a word, a direction. And when you follow it, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And he enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and there was overflow everywhere for Peter. Say amen. So look out for that word, and God will give you supernatural wealth and prosperity. Say amen. One friend of mine he said he had a dream that he should go into palm fruits, and now he has 4,000 acres of palm fruits. It was a dream he had, and he's on his way to become a very wealthy man. Say amen. Then the seventh key is that your pathway to wealth and prosperity and riches is not a competition. You are not competing with your younger sister over wealth. You are not competing with the second family or the third family or the first family. Run in your lane. Say amen. Some people will prosper very well at a short time. Some people too will take a very long time. There's a certain tree in China. It takes 5 years for it to germinate from the ground. 5 years. And when it shoots up after 5 years, it takes only 1 year and it will go about 8 meters into the sky. So sometimes it takes a lot of time for you to emerge from the ground. But once you come out, you will shoot forward and people will wonder where you came from. So let God deal with you and handle you one day at a time. You are not in competition with anybody over prosperity. Too much competition and comparison is creating tension in your life. It's giving you sleepless night. You feel that you are at the back of the race. You are not racing with anybody. Say amen. So don't feel left out. Don't feel as if, it's been so long. Why am I still not prospering? This my friend who just finished this is breaking through, And it is not all breakthroughs that are genuine. There are some false breakthroughs that if you go and follow, no, you make a shipwreck of your faith. If you see a small girl coming out of the university and she's driving a 7 Series Mercedes Benz, BMW. Don't be moved. You don't know the price she has paid. Say amen. Don't compete. There's no competition. CEM is not competing with Lighthouse. CEM is not competing with ICGC. ICGC is not in competition with Action Chapel. We are all being called to do things differently. And we are all running our lives, and the Lord will tell us one day, thou good and faithful. It means that you were faithful to your calling. It's not a competition. There is no first, you now the first, you now the second in heaven. No, it's faithfulness to what God has called you to do. Say amen. So you will end up very well. Before you die on this earth, you will become a very wealthy woman. You will become a very wealthy man. Say amen. But the pathway to get there is not a race. God will take you one day at a time. Number 8, do your best to come out of discouraging and depressing moments. There is no person on the earth who succeeded and became a very wealthy person who didn't go through discouraging moments. There will be challenges. Sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes you don't feel... You feel like quitting many, many times. People who became wealthy, they lost hope many, 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 many times before they succeeded. So when you are getting discouraged, read books, listen to music, put yourself in the position where you'll be encouraged by the word of God. I have a book written by Dr. Miles Moore. I don't know that the internet people can locate that book. The title of the book is one word, vision. Vision, written by Dr. Max Moore. See whether you can look for it. It is one of the most powerful books I have ever read. And anytime I feel like shaking in my dream, then I read a book. And when I read a book, I will read a statement in that book that will catapult my faith to another level. To me, it's the most powerful book in the world. It's called Vision. Look for it. And when you get opportunity, I went to the bookshop and the book was there in the book. It was the only book left in the shelf. And I picked it. And the Lord said, read it. And I read it. I read it like four times. It said so many things. Vision. So read books. Listen to godly music. There are some music you don't even know the words of the song. I don't know what it is. There's no edification in the song. So listen to music, read scriptures, listen to messages, motivational speakers that will take you out of depression and discouragement. Say amen. And today I'm adding 9, 10, 11, and 12 quickly because I'm finishing today. Invest, listen to this one, very, very important. Invest to become wealthy, your pathway to riches, prosperity, and wealth. Invest in long prayers to make your vision a reality. That's the book, The Power of Vision by Dr. Mans Moro. The Power of Vision by Dr. Mans Moro. This Mans Moro guy is dead, but he's speaking from his grave. Say amen. Get this book. I'm telling you, it's the most powerful book I ever read. They used to have it at the bookshop, but it's no more. The Power of Vision. It's a very, very great book. Thank you, guys. You are the best. All right. So invest in long prayer. I'm not saying that invest in prayer. So long prayers. Because something will be fighting your vision. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, 8 and 9. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. The next verse, it says, verse 9, it says, for a great door, say a great door, and effectual is open unto what? Unto me, but what? There are many adversaries. There are many adversaries in the door of opportunity that God has opened for you. And those adversaries are there to hinder you from breaking through. So that sometimes you have done all there is to do, but you are not just breaking through. You have done all that there is to do. Because there are hindering spirits. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 18. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. So in scriptures, Satan can hinder you. There can be a hindering spirit. A door has been opened unto you, but there are adversaries. But when you are prayerless, the adversaries will suffocate and choke your vision and kill it. It is called DOA, dead on arrival. DOA, dead on arrival. By the time you bear the vision, they've killed it already. And there are, listen to me, there are dream killers. And the dream killer, and I don't apologize for this, can be somebody very close to you. He can kill your dreams. Say amen. The man who sowed good seeds was going to be wealthy. He sowed good seeds. But in the night, whilst men slept, somebody came and sowed tares. Now,
Who was it who sowed the tares? Except somebody who was close to him, knowing that he's sowing good seeds. Is it a guy from Timbuktu? Does a guy from Timbuktu know that you are at Agbogba here sowing seeds? Or you are in Kintampo sowing yams and things? It is the person who came close to you and saw that you are sowing good seeds, who at night came to sow tares. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Which means that you can't just leave yourself like that. You as a Christian, must find time and invest in long prayers. Long prayers for your vision. Jesus came into this world to come and save mankind. He went into the wilderness and for 40 days and 40 nights he was praying for his coming, for the vision that the Father has given to him. And then the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus went into the mountain to pray and continued, which means that it was not his intention to go and pray all night. But when he went to pray all night, he continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus was praying all night. Jesus, the Son of God, was praying all night to God. What was he telling God all night? What will my son be telling me all night? Yeah. For my son, Elo, to come to my bedroom and spend 6 hours talking to me, it must be very, very important. So if Jesus went to the mountain to pray and continue, that means that, for example, your son comes to your bedroom, Daddy, Mommy, this year I want to travel to Russia, I want to travel to whatever, I want to go and study this, I want to go and whatever. And then he's talking and before you realize, it's 4 a.m. Which means that whatever he was telling you, it's very, very important to him. What will Jesus be on the mountain and pray and continue praying all night? Which means that once in a while, you must have opportunity and pray all night for something you want to succeed in. Personal all night. Or join an all night service. Or come to midnight cry. And have 2.5 hours of prayer. Nobody's leading. Nobody's giving you topics. Because in your house, you are too comfortable. Your bed will invite sleep. Your big TV. Or suffer many the part 1, part 2. You want to watch part 3. You want to watch part 4. It will interfere. So you have to painfully separate yourself from the house and come and sit here by yourself. Nobody's leading you. And talk to God all night to succeed. Instead of running to some prophet somewhere to succeed for you or to pray for you. Let me tell you something, and you can quote me anywhere. There is no prophet who is staying all night praying for you. A prophet is staying all night and has taken your topic to his altar. Please, wake up and smell the coffee. They have their own marital issues. They have their own personal issues. They are looking for money and all that. So you feel that you have gone to pay some 4,000 Ghana cedis so that the prophet will pray all night for and see things for you. He will come up with a pack of lies. Pray yourself all night to God, discussing with God issues affecting your work. You started a business 16 years ago. The business is not succeeding. The business is not breaking forth. 16 years of business. And you are doing the same thing every year, expecting a different result. Ain't gonna happen. So this year, change your strategy and invest long prayers into the business venture that is struggling to take off. Because there are hindering spirits. There are principalities. There are powers fighting the takeoff of that business. And the sad thing is that you can go for a wakekeeping all night. You can go for a discotheque all night. You can go for a party all night. There are a lot of stupid things you can do all night with your boyfriend. Yes, you can go and visit your boyfriend at 10 p.m. and come home at 4 a.m. So what are you guys doing? You went to visit your boyfriend at 10 p.m. You came home at 4:30 and you tiptoed into your bedroom. So what were you doing all night? But you find it very difficult to come and pray all night. I mean, sure, why? You tiptoe to enter because you know that your mother will ask you, where are you coming from? I don't think you are smart. Your mother knows that you went out, you just came. So there are a lot of things we do all night. But when it has to do with praying all night, you find it so difficult, so sleepy, so tiring, so some way. When you come, you are looking, you are yawning, you are tired, you are bored. The enemy knows. That is why. Look, if it is a jamboree all night, jama all night, chilling all night, we are going to celebrate our Independence Day, what, tomorrow. There will be all night celebrations. There will be chillings and things all night. But if you call for a prayer meeting, Satan will hinder you. Satan will hinder you. So beginning from this Friday, we are starting our morning, Friday morning prayers from 10 to 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we have the 6:30 to the 8:30 evening. Then we have the 10 p.m. to the 12 midnight. Then we have 12 midnight to 4 a.m. prayers on Fridays. And the resident pastor is in charge of the Friday service from now onwards. The apostle will be all over the world doing commission. But now, the Friday prayer, 6:30 to 8:30, is in the hands of the resident pastor. And the midnight cry is in the hands of Pastor Stanley. Are you there or you are not there? So this type of taking, you have started the year and you are doing morning devotion. The business you are starting or the crescendo where your business is, it doesn't need morning devotional prayers to succeed. You need some intensive, long hours of prayers. Because Jesus did it. And you know, Chaba, when I read, yesterday I was reading through my, just to get familiar with that scripture. And when I read Luke 6:12, the Holy Spirit said to me, read the scriptures above. Because I never read the scriptures above. So I look at the scripture and I realized that Jesus had gone to heal a certain man with a withered hand. And the scribes were mad at him. Is there? And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And then look at the next verse. And it came to pass that those days that he went into the mountain to pray and continued all night. Which means that something was threatening him. I've never read the scriptures before. I've never paid attention. I've read it before, but I've never paid attention that it was the madness of the people and the fact that they were communing to harm him. So he went to his father. They wanted to cut him short. So you are sitting there. You don't know that people are scheming against you to destroy you, to paralyze you, to give you cancer, to give you liver problems. And you are becoming Mother Christmas to everybody. You are Mother Christmas to your sisters who are jealous of you. Your own brothers. You are doing very well. you are a generous man, you are giving it, but not everybody who is receiving a gift from you is very thankful to you. Me, I've seen two brothers come from the same womb and they kill each other because one was succeeding. Abel was succeeding, but Cain was not succeeding. And Cain killed Abel because of jealousy. That is why some people's dream never come to pass. Some people's words are cut short. So when you come here, either in the morning, 9 to 12, okay, to, is it 9 to 12, okay, 9 to 12, pray 2 hours to be at the Jubilee Hall. And then in the evening, we are here praying from 6:30 to 8:30. Then we have 10, maybe you are close from work. Then you come 10 p.m., pray 2 hours on your own. And then go home and go and continue your sleep. Or come midnight. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse number 19 or so. Let me be sure. The Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Why were they praying? Because they had put them in hold, awaiting execution the following day. Their life was in danger. And as you are sitting there, you may not know that your life is in danger. You are sitting there, you think that everything, that your life can be in danger. A certain woman came here yesterday for hospitalization, wanted to be treated. And the daughter brought files of medical reports. Files of medical reports. And she started talking to me. And when she started talking to me, she started crying. I said, no, stop the crying. Just tell me exactly what the problem is. He said, my mother is 54 years old. And suddenly from nowhere, my mother has developed a tumor in the brain. And the tumor is pushing against the brain. So she's having seizures, blackout, she's threatening of blindness. A lot of things are happening to my mother. And they went to the hospital. There is a doctor, the name, the doctor, I can't remember the doctor's name. The doctor said he can operate on the brain and remove the brain because the way the tumor is growing, you know, it will terminate the life of this woman if it's not removed. They went, and then now they were given a bill of 76,000 Ghana cedis. Yeah, and the small girl, has raised 26,000. And they did what, 50,000. And then they said, they were women around and somebody said to them that they should come here. She should come here in the papano, or yeah, the pa, in tafono, in tafono, ombeji. And the woman came here yesterday with the daughter, with their full medical reports, passionately begging. Because she can see her mother dying because of lack of money. So I said, Kato, look into this case and we'll know what to do. My point is that you can be sitting there quietly and something is growing in you you don't know. A tumor is growing in you. There is cancer protruding in your breast. And you are sitting down. We are dealing with principalities and what? And powers. And we are dealing with wicked spirits in high places. We are dealing with witches and wizards who don't love you. Your sister, your own sister can come and see you lying down, and be looking at you. So that's it. Papa no home and wife. They are wishing you dead, but thank God that you shall not die, but you will live and declare the works of the Lord. So those who know their God, they shall be mighty and they will do exploits. You can't sit down at home and think you know your God. If you are not coming here to pray, then be praying where you are. Be praying at home. But don't cloud yourself with office work and negate prayer, which is your lifeline to victory. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. Jesus healed a sick person and the people were mad and they communed among themselves how they might terminate his vision. They cut short his vision and Jesus went to pray. And whilst he was in prayer, he felt led that he must continue all night in prayer. This is Jesus to deal with all these people. He said, the Bible said, and he read their thoughts and saw that they were trying to trap him. Am I talking to somebody here? He continued all night. So if Jesus came to me, I would say that if I were Jesus, I won't pray. Oh, please. You see, if I were Jesus, by the time I'm being born, I will not be born. By the time I'm being born, I'm already in the air. And my protocol are angels. Angels with wings and carrying guns. Me, the way I am, make sure I'm home here. I will let you, who don't know God, know that I came from heaven. Share me that if I'm cry. And I'm about Moses, motorcade made of angels, flying angels like this are my motorcade. But he came as a man, ordinary, born in a manger, manger born but on the tree to die to save humanity. And he felt the need to go and pray and continue all night in prayer and fasted 40 days. There are people here, they have never fasted before. Of fasting, I'm not to be creative dizziness. No matter what. Whenever I be fasting, prayer, just say, I need to achieve me. Me to be fasting. Not be yari. Not kiting, kiting, hami. You have to come out of that shelf and deal. That is why Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. Finally, be strong in the Lord. It means that you can be weak in the Lord. You are in the Lord, but weak. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is after Jesus. So this is not before Jesus. This is after Jesus. Wiles of the devil. Then look at the next verse. He says, for, look at it, the next verse. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. It means that we are not dealing with your grandmother. You are dealing with persons who have no bodies. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Evil spirits that are haunting your house. Evil spirits. You don't know why today this child is sick, convulsing. 2 weeks later, then the other child is running high temperature. A week later, then the third child is also running. Then the first one. And you are wondering what is going on. Spiritual attack in your house. Sure. There's an attack in your house. A childless mother somewhere is trying to kill your children. It's because in that house is television, computer, laptop, whatever is technology house. Prayerless house. Prayerless house. And a prayerless house breed demons. A prayerless house. A house that there's no prayer. There's no fire. A venomous viper is coming out of the woods to bite people in the house. And you, the priest, the man in the house is the priest, the prophet, and the king of the house. You are not in prayer. You are not leading your family to the altar. A certain man, he sits at the top. He comes to city at midnight cry. And when he comes with all his children. He comes with all his children. And the children, we can see that they are annoyed. The children are sleepy. The children are tired. They will be sitting here, sleeping. They will be sitting there. The children want to be in bed, but the father has brought them to bed. It's like, be in the atmosphere of prayer. Even if you are not praying, there's prayers going on. That's what the man said. Why do you bring your sleepy children? Said, so that they are in the atmosphere of prayer. They must learn how to pray. The horses. have been prepared against the day of battle. But the victory is of the Lord. A word to a wise is enough. This Friday, I see you coming in the morning if you have time. I see you coming in the evening, 6:30, or a bit to midnight, and then a midnight cry. Say amen. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 5, verse 13. Look at it. James 5:13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted?" That means that, are you afflicted with trials, temptation, pain, sorrow, misery? He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. It means that prayer deals with what? Afflictions. Is any among you afflicted? Sometimes your business that you started, you see, I went to preach somewhere on Friday night. And I made an altar call. This was the altar call. I said, is anybody here who has begun a business and the business has collapsed, gone down? You are zero and negative. You are owing your business. Come for it. Let me pray for you. I was shocked. Half of the members came forward. I said, no, did you hear what I said? Your business is zero. It has gone. You have closed down. There was suddenly there. More even joy cry. As I spoke, more joy. And if I make the same attack call here, I'll be surprised. Anybody whose business has gone down, your business has gone down, whatever. Now, what made the business go down like that? Sometimes it's a spiritual attack on your business. There's an attack on you and the business and the work you are doing. A brother came to me on Sunday last week. He said, Daddy, I want to see you. So he sat here. I said, I'm coming. He said, Daddy, I want to see you. I said, I'm coming. He said, Daddy, I want to see you. I said, hey, this, I want to see you. He said, so I said, come. I said, what is it? He said, Daddy, I lost my job. 4 years ago. He said, Daddy, what kind of application haven't I written? These are my CV. I'm a qualified A, B, C, and D. I've come to see you because the way you know people know, so that you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Because, yeah, I know people. Say, the way you know people. I have a wife and children. 4 years. Then I said to you, yeah, I can see that you are very desperate. Very desperate. But some of this desperation, it requires prayers. Because this person, I've never seen him or her or their family ever in any prayer meeting before. You say, are you afflicted? Are you in pain? Are you in sorrow? Let him pray. Let him pray. Is it written by Reverend Steve? It's in the Bible. Is any afflicted? Google the word affliction. Google it on your iPad right now. And you see 30 root words that will come out of it. Is any afflicted with sorrow, pain, misery, disappointment, anguish, despair? Let him pray. And then when you come to verse 60, it said, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, NIV says, is powerful and effective. I don't want to raise a prayerless church. Say amen. I don't want to have Sunday members. Dress and come. Hello, 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 hello. Is she rado, 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 hello, hello? No. I don't want to read that kind of a church. What to say, mama, lunch in the campaign. A baby dream of Chrome Heart 2024. We are coming back.
without prayer, you're going nowhere. Am I talking to somebody here? For the effectual, put it there, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. For Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And prayed again. It means your prayer can open your heavens or close your heavens. Now, so what do you have? What do you have money devotion? What do you have intercessors? Raise your right hand and say, Father, 2023, I will add prayer to my life. Yeah. Say amen. So this year, this week, it will be advertised. We have started our prayer life again. Some people, you know, some people came for prayer convocation. Quite a sizable number of people started, whatever. Then getting to the end, no. The end, the anointing, the everybody came. Because you love anointing. But you lack longevity of prayer. Say, thank you, Pastor, for helping me. Number 10. Sow your seeds in the lean and dry season. In the lean and dry season. Any farmer who doesn't sow during the dry and the lean season cannot expect a bumper harvest during the time of harvest. The Bible said in Genesis 26, 1 to 5, look at it, please. Write it down and look at it. Genesis 26, 1 to 5. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. Say amen. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. Number 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. Which means that there was famine in those days. That's like the way there's famine here in a certain way economically. We are struggling, prices have gone, our exchange rates. I mean, things are very difficult for people to put petrol pie in their car and come to church. It's the grace of God. It's not easy at all to buy petrol. Sometimes when my driver is collecting money from me, I get very, I say, I need 2 or 500. And I was just going to help you. Buy 5 references of petrol. You go 1, 2, know that your is finished. It's finished. You have to come out again. How much do you earn a month that you can be buying fuel for 500 and buy another 500 and buy another 500? When people come to town, people visit me a lot. They want a car to travel somewhere. Then I'm looking at them. I'm looking at those who have come for a car from my yard. They're traveling somewhere. I'm like, are you buying the petrol inside the car? Petrol buying has become very, 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 very precious. I don't know whether I'm the only one suffering from that, but we are all suffering from that. Take my car, but don't ask me for petrol. And when they take my car, then my driver, will come and ask me for the petrol. I said, but the person you are taking, can't he buy his own petrol? It's very difficult. Go to,
If you take 1,000 CDs and you go to a shop, you go to Palace or some of these more, by the time you pick one, be very careful when you are picking TV. By the time what they will compute for you, and that 1,000, that is somebody's whole salary. So we are in the farming season. So me, I'm very surprised when I see plenty of you coming to church like this. I'm very surprised. It's a blessing, Pastor, that you're able to come to church. It's a blessing. That is why I don't like to blast you, but I told you, I have to shake you from your this thing, from your slumber, because I don't want you to fail. It's not easy to come to church and then you give offering and give another offering and pay tithe. It's not very easy at all. We are in a very difficult economic situation. But some people are very, very, enjoyed. The MPP people here, they are enjoying. They've been giving you some money. Please bring some of the money here. Say amen. But the verse 12 says, the Genesis 26, the verse 12 says, look at it. The verse 12 says, in the lean season, look at it. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So when you sow your seed in lean season, you are bound to get a bountiful harvest. Say amen. Look at the next verse. The next verse says, and the man was great and went forward, grew until he became very great. Verse 14. For he had possession of flocks. May you have flocks. Possession of herds. May you have possession of herds. And great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. His wealth became the envy of the natives of the land. That is the way you are going to become very wealthy. They were peasant farmers, so your prosperity is measured by cattle, servants, and all that. How do you measure your prosperity today? Whatever measurement we have for prosperity, you are going to prosper. But he couldn't, if he had said, the season is lean, things are dry, things are hard, because of that, I want to conserve what I have. He would not have had a bountiful harvest. But during the lean season, he sowed his seed, brought an offering, sowed, gave his first fruit, do all those things. And that is why after February, March that we have entered, you are going to begin seeing harvest. Because you brought your tithe, you brought your first fruit, you brought your seed, you look into your purse, you counted money, and you put an envelope and you sowed that seed on the altar. You wrote the check. Say amen. Yesterday, one member of the Lifeline said, oh, the Lifeline people are taking care of the doctors, but the church members, we are taking care of the drugs that was used. This way, his way. And the church members are two. He said, the two of us, we are the church members. We will take care of all the drugs that was used for the medical. There is no way those two people are going to become very poor. They are sowing in the lean season. May you have also sowed your seed in the lean season. And you are going to have harvest this year. Say, Father, I shall receive my harvest. Hallelujah. The Bible said, Genesis 8:22, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So long as there is an earth, there will be a seed time and there will be harvest. There will be a seed time, there will be a harvest. So ask yourself, what seed have I sown? One day I went to the archbishop and I went to make some complaints. Because he was looking at me, then he said something I would never forget. He said, Steve, the ground is fertile. The clouds have gathered, but there is no seed in the ground. Then he spoke into Kotakaya Bakaya. The following week, I went there with the seed to the ground. It was a prophetic word to me. He said, the clouds have gathered. The ground is soft. It's fertile. There is fertilizer, but there is no seed. This is the way he did it. There is no seed. Kotaka. Then he spoke it up. Kotaka. I said, Papa, I hear you. I hear the word of God. Then I returned the following week with the seed into the ground. Yeah. So, your clouds have gathered. Your soil is fertile. But is there seed in the ground? No seed. But there is seed. Those who have sown the seed, whilst the earth remaineth, there shall be seed time and harvest. And when somebody is in his harvest, and he's bought a car for himself, he's bought a car for his husband, he's bought a car for his children, and he's doing the, he's expanding, he's building it. Then you are speaking Kasantri, you are envying people. It is because the person sowed in the lean season, and God, through his word, is prospering the person, and you are jealous of the prosperity of the person. If you also sow, you shall receive the harvest. Say, I hear you, my bishop. Number 10. Go where your vision is celebrated, not where you are tolerated. Go where your vision is celebrated, not where you are tolerated. Don't go telling people who don't celebrate you. The person doesn't celebrate you. You are forcing your vision on that person. Stop going to where you are not celebrated. You will create more jealousy and more envyness. Go where anytime you share your dream, you are celebrated. So listen to this. You may not like it, but listen to this. If your spouse doesn't favor your vision, stop telling him anything. Because who can obey water down all your zeal? I have a couple. This couple, the wife was doing very, very well. But the guy, you know, was struggling. No struggle. And the wife came to me and said, Reverend, my husband is always fighting with me. I said, what are you fighting? I said, I come around and I tell him the things that God is doing and whatever, and some of the things I'm doing for the church. And then you said that, and so what? And have anybody sent you? And you trying to make yourself known? I said, stop telling him. Stop telling him. Keep your mouth shut. Give him what he wants. What does he want? Food, sex, and space. Give it to him. So for a while, he wasn't telling anything. He said, then she said, what's going on? Because he's used to being told things and then blasting in return. But now there's no blast. There is peace. He said, why are you not telling me anything? What's going on? So nothing is going on. Are you sure nothing is going on? She said, Daddy, I took your advice. I don't tell him anything. Go where you are celebrated. Not tolerated. What I hate in my life is somebody to tolerate me. Me, when I come to you and I realize that you tolerated me, that's it all. I'm not coming there again. Because Saturday, you know, my brain power, when my father left my mother, myself and Pastor Stanley will walk from Kokomeble to Pig Farm. As soon as they see a space, you can see that, no more now. Because we are coming to find food to eat. In Pig Farm, Kokomeble to Pig Farm is walking. Bus B and bus 1C pass through Pig Farm. Bus B and bus 1C. We can't board the bus because we don't have money. So we walked. As soon as we get there, you see there, they have come again. They are coming to eat. And we will eat and we will walk from Pig Farm to whenever. By the time we come back, we are hungry again. Because we are being tolerated. Though they don't know to go there again. Don't go where somebody is tolerating you. If you have a friend you are visiting and you are sharing your dreams with the person, telling him how you are progressing, and the person is feeling tired of listening to you, just cut it off. Be in your corner. Talk to God. Talk to your fiancé or your friend who enjoys to hear progressive report about what you are doing. So when Joseph had a dream, he quickly rushed to gather his 11 brothers. Hey, guys! I had a dream yesterday, too. We were all binding sheaves, eh? And my sheaf arose. And yours, you guys, Simon, yeah, you all bowed. Look at the response. They envied him. They hated him. They speak no more peaceably with him for sharing his dream. It's in the Bible. Put it there. They envied him. They hated him. They hated him for the coat of many colors. They hated him for the dream. For dreaming, they hated him for it. For wearing a nice cloth, they hated him. Genesis 37. Is he there? Yeah. Look at the verses number 3. They hated him. And then he didn't know that his brothers don't like him. So the Bible said that. The Bible said, and he said there, here I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Look at it. It says, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Look at the next verse. And his brother said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Look at the next verse. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren, and said, I have dreamed yet another. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Look at the next verse. He said, and he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast had? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Look at the next verse. And his brethren envied him. But his father observed and said, enviness, hatred, jealousy came into. So when you go to a place to talk up, to show your new car, to show your new home, to show your new design, and the person is showing a negative, don't go there again. He could be your own brother, could be your own sister, could be your own parents. If your parents are not celebrating, there are some parents who are jealous of their children's success. A certain woman in this church said to the daughter, and I'm worried my wedding kakraka with you. My wedding kakraka with you, and I'm going to go to London. You are comparing your marriage to your daughter's marriage. And guess what? The daughter and the mother fought because of celebration. Enviness. Meanwhile, you make all never. Meanwhile, you mind and 36 or 30. That time there was no. Yeah. She went and said, she's been given a contract to construct drains in the whatever. Went and showed it to the mother that is getting away. The mother didn't say, You see? So when you have somebody who is not rejoicing with you, why go there again? So go where you are celebrated. Come to me. I will celebrate you because I want you to succeed and become a very powerful person. Yeah. I want my church members to succeed, become successful, become rich, and help God's work. I want my members to do well, Keto. I want my members to prosper, to look after their children, to pay their fees and build houses. I want all my members to build houses. That is why we sold the plot at Proclaim for 20,000. There was no profit. 20,000 so that, and there were people here who paid 500, 600, 300, and they are still paying. And I tell my people, leave them, let them pay it bit by bit. At least he has bought one plot in his life. And I tell you, you shall build that house. Everybody should be a landlord. I want to succeed. So if you have a brother, a sister, a cousin, a mother, a father, who is not rejoicing with you, stop going there. They are dream killers. And they will operate by telepathy. and spoil your dream. When you go give them New Year, Happy New Year, Mama, Happy New Year, Papa, Happy New Year, give them their envelope, change their fan in the room, whatever, that's all. Bye-bye, Mama, bye-bye, Papa, and go your way. I love that word. Take care of them, but don't tell them your dream. There is jealousy in their hearts. Your own mother. Your own father. Say amen. I'm finishing now. 12. Let God rely on you to be a kingdom financier. Let God rely on me. In my years to come, I want to be a kingdom financier. The Bible said, John chapter 19, verse 38, when Jesus died, Joseph, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, a very rich and influential man, went to Pilate and demanded the body of Jesus and placed Jesus in his own tomb. It takes a rich man to be able to influence the society of God. May you become the Joseph of Arimathea in our day and time, a very wealthy person. Say amen. The centurion in Luke chapter 7, 2 to 5. The Bible says, Luke chapter 7, 2 to 5. Why you not put it on scriptures? You are smarter than that. Put the scriptures. Okay. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Look at it. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. The Bible said, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Look at the next verse. For he loveth our nation and had built us a synagogue. He was a kingdom financier. May you be a kingdom financier. May God rely on you to finance projects in the kingdom. May you build churches. Churches. In the ministry. Say amen. The Bible says of King Henry VIII, in the 16th century, when they translated the Bible from Latin to English, and then he said, bring me the transcript. And then he printed the Bible from Latin to English in the 16th century, King Henry VIII. That's why we call it the King James version of the Bible. It was translated by King Henry VIII. And then he took money from the coffers of England and printed the Bible. Financed it and said there should be a Bible in every home in England, financed by the king. And the prophet came to him and said, for financing this, the pound will never go down. Look at a tiny island like Great Britain, a tiny island, and their currency is the most powerful in the world from the 16th century to date. It's a prophetic way. He financed the kingdom. And a prophetic word. King Henry VIII. He printed. Nobody bought a Bible. Everybody had a gift of a Bible. He used the coffers. The coffers of the state to finance the Bible. And a small, tiny, short prophet came to him. That for what you have done, the currency, the British pound will never go down. Look at how many centuries. Be a kingdom financier. Don't be tipping God. Stop tipping God. God doesn't need your tip. He needs your financing. Say amen. Me, I've decided to be a kingdom financier. I've made myself like that. I have positioned myself to finance the church. I'll do it. I'm doing it now and I'll do it more. Tell somebody, be a kingdom financier. William Colgate of Colgate Paste, when he did his business, when they passed the Colgate Paste through their FDA, they also have their FDA, and they saw that the chemical component and everything was good, he sold his first set of Colgate Paste, toothpaste, and and brought in the whole seal, the first seal he made. The whole money he brought it to his pastor. The whole money of the first seals brought it to his pastor. Said, this is my first seals, my first fruit. I'm giving it to the church. The pastor said, Colgate will be known all over the world. The guy is dead and gone. Is there any country you have gone to that you haven't seen Colgate paste there? Yeah. It was a kingdom for him. And today, as of today, he gives 90% of the income of Colgate paste to the church. And he keeps 10%. Kingdom financier. You are next in line to finance the kingdom. God bless you. I love you all. Shall we rise?